Welcome to episode 176 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on May 1, 2020. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss the topic or recent news and how it relates to you. In this episode, Scott and Ben discuss some of the recent news from the month of April, including some upcoming conferences, Azure AD, security, and Microsoft Teams. I felt like April was never going to end.
Well, it has.
It
still might not have, but officially on the calendar, it has. In our brains and collective consciousness, it may have not.
Oh, yes. But the good news is, at least here in Florida, we are slowly starting to open back up. The question is,
yes.
Are you going to go out and do anything now that it's opened back up?
Well, we chose to open on our day of highest deaths. So my personal approach is to stay home a little bit while longer.
You've already had it. You're immune.
We'll see. I'm thinking about paying the $120 to get the test.
To find out if you had it or not?
Yeah. Some of the labs are starting to get it. So Quest has one.
Got it. Interesting.
Nice little antibody test.
I saw them all. Town Center is going to open Monday, I think is what I saw. So yeah, stores, restaurants, I think they said are going to open, but they have to be at 20% capacity, I think is what, or 25% capacity?
Yep, 25 here.
So we'll see. We haven't gone out and done a whole lot. We've started to see a few more people. I'm getting kind of stir crazy and I don't know, like, I feel like we've flattened the curve and we don't need to talk about this too long because we have other topics to talk about. But it's like, at what point in time do you just have to start going out? Because obviously vaccines are going to be a long way off. I feel like the curve has started to flatten out. So I'm kind of getting close to that approach of, all right, it's time to start getting out, seeing some people, doing some normal activities again. So yeah, my two cents.
Slowly but surely, you know, like get back out, see family, things like that, you know, where you can and where it makes sense.
And that's what we did. We had my wife's family came over the other day and they didn't even come inside. We actually just sat outside, ate at the picnic tables in the park next to our house. And it was our sister's birthday. So it was fun. It was fun to see. And we hadn't seen them in like a month. So all good. But there's some other events coming up now too that are free. So there's some silver lining in all of this. There are some free events coming up that people can participate in.
Nice. What type of free events are coming?
Yes. What type of free events? So as an IT pro and as an IT pro-ish podcast, one may or may not appeal to a bunch of our audience, but Build. I have never been to a Build. This year, I'm going to Build, Scott, virtually, because it's free and it's virtual. So that is one of the events coming up. I think you registered for it the other day. I registered for it last night. So I am going to try to catch some of the sessions. Sometimes there's some interesting things that come out at Build, especially around like Visual Studio Code or some of the PowerShell or source control stuff that I use with my PowerShell. There's always stuff that comes out around Azure and things that, well, we may not go build applications, they still can be applicable to IT pros in terms of how you manage what developers may try to do to your environment based on new capabilities being released. So even though I'm not a developer, I still try to keep track of some of those developer-ish type conferences.
Yeah, so I think there's some exciting things that they have planned this year. If anything, just in the delivery model that they're going to use for it. So not only is registration open, and certainly you should go register because it is a free event, I think there's some constraints there for a lot of us. Like one of the things I love about, you know, going to conferences isn't just the networking, like that's certainly valuable, but if you are going to go to sessions, you're there and it's much easier to go and not be distracted by work. So I think lots of people are going to be potentially competing for work over May 19 and 20 while this goes on, but it's going to be a 48-hour event and it's going to be running for 48 hours straight, which means you're going to have coverage in geographies, which would typically feel like they would have to miss out on an event like this just due to time of day. So if you think about folks over in Australia and APAC and certainly Europe and things like that, everybody is going to be able to get in on the fun.
Yeah, it should be good. And there's another one coming up that will be short. Let me think. It'll be the day after this recording goes live, Office 365 Nashville is doing a virtual one. So Daniel Glenn is kind of spearheading that one, and that one is going to be on May 8th. So this episode should come out May 7th. I think registration will still be open, but it's a free virtual event that you can go sign up for. I'm actually speaking at that one because it was virtual. It enabled me to speak at that one. So that one's coming up. We'll put a link in that one if you want to go register there. And then there's also one that Joel Olson is doing. I can't remember the name of it right now, but we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, my 365 something or other.
Yeah, it was going to be like the Virtual Olympics, and then they ran into like some trademark issues because apparently Olympics is trademarked. Imagine that.
Who saw that one coming?
Marathon. Virtual Marathon, I think, is what it is. But it's another Microsoft 365 free virtual marathon. I think that one's like 36 hours straight. And I've seen like he's trying to get 900 live sessions over the course of 36 hours.
That's going to be quite a bit.
Yes, we will find a link for that and put that in the show notes as well. Outlook add-ins are a great way to improve productivity and save time in the workplace, and Sperry Software has all the add-ins you'll ever need. The Save as PDF add-in is a bestseller and is great for project backups, legal discovery, and more. This add-in saves the email and attachments as PDF files. It's easy to download, easy to install, and Sperry Software's unparalleled customer service is always ready to help. Download a free trial at sperrysoftware.com, SperrySoftware.com, and see for yourself how great Save as PDF is. Listeners can get 20% off their order today by entering the code CLOUDIT. That's CLOUDIT, CLOUDIT, all one word at checkout. Sperry Software, work in email, not on email. Those are all the events I have. Do you have any other ones that I didn't think of?
No, we did just have the virtual Azure Global Bootcamp, which passed, but lots of these sessions for that were recorded. So if anybody did miss the 2020 Azure Virtual Bootcamp, just hop on YouTube and search around for some of those videos and things that came out from all the wonderful speakers who put their time into it.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah, we didn't do much here because it was all virtual. So who knows if they do kind of an in-person one later this year, maybe we'll try to jump on. Maybe we'll just have to wait for round two and come back to it in 2021.
It'll still be there.
Yep, it will. Hopefully all in person again. So there was also some news that came out these past few weeks. Different things around Azure, some Office 365 stuff, some Azure AD stuff, some that spans all of them, like Windows Virtual Desktop. So we decided we'd just dive into some of these news articles that have, or news announcements that have come out over the last few days. Take your pick. Which one would you like to start with?
Ooh, let's see. I always like the identity stuff. I think they've done some good things there for customers, especially as some of the licensing has opened up, like, you know, bringing Azure AD Premium P1 to the Microsoft 365 business tiers and things like that. And they're starting to open up the platform more and more for all customers, which is always nice to see, especially in these times when everyone is working at home or remotely, or if anything, just on the go more than they are. I think that whole zero trust model around identity and securing your identities and gating your access to all these resources is super important. So one of the things they've done there is they've extended the ability to use Azure AD single sign-on for an unlimited number of cloud apps at no extra cost. And that's across every SKU. So now in the past, you would have been limited in the number of cloud apps that you could add to a user, and then also the number that you could potentially perform SSO against your Azure Active Directory with. So this is using SSO with Azure AD, whether you're federated or unfederated. And like I said, it's available across all of the pricing tiers or SKUs of Azure AD, even Azure Active Directory free.
Perfect. Because this used to be, I think the limit used to be 10, right? I think it was 10 apps.
10 apps, yep. But you were even limited within SKUs by how many apps you could have. And some could have 10 cloud apps, but not SSO. And others could have 10 cloud apps with SSO. So now it's just open across the board, which is much nicer. And I mean, it's more consumable. So you make those things more readily available, and hopefully people actually use them. You know, that would be the next step, is going out and getting folks to light up that feature and actually turn some of that stuff on.
Right. Well, and this is like apps that are not native Office 365 apps too. If you're doing third-party apps or developing your own apps, this applies to those apps. Before, it was like all the included apps were kind of excluded from those limits. They were all considered bundled in, but this is other apps that you set up SSO with, set up SAML authentication with, whatever you might be doing.
So correct. In this, yep.
I mean, it's interesting. Like, you talked about the Azure AD Premium coming to business, and some of that, well, I get that some of these features cost Microsoft more money to let users use because of resources and whatever. By giving these to everybody, it's also helping Microsoft, because the more people that roll this type of stuff out, the more secure the cloud platform is going to be. Because if everybody on Office 365 and Azure AD is using MFA, it's going to help Microsoft from a security perspective protect their own platform by kind of minimizing their footprint, minimizing the security risks that are enabled by rolling these out to everybody and including them with all the plans.
Mm-hmm. I also think it makes some of the security services more valuable. So if you look at the way Microsoft approaches machine learning for a couple of their different security products, if you think about risk-based sign-on with conditional access through identity protection, and even some of the features maybe inside security products like the Microsoft Threat Protection Suite or Azure Sentinel, things like that, they rely on signals. And the more signals there are, the better those services are going to become for everybody. In some cases, yes, it's probably a little bit of a loss on the money side, but it's potentially a gain in the features that you can offer in some of those other super suite products that kind of build on top of everything that's there and make those true differentiators kind of across the market.
Yeah, which there was another security. We'll keep moving on through the news. There was another security feature that there was a change to this past week. And that was the Microsoft Threat Protection is now going to automatically be turned on for any eligible license holders effective June 1 of 2020. So approximately exactly 1 month from the day we're recording this. If you are licensed for Microsoft Threat Protection, which is, this isn't going to be your lower SKU. So this is going to be Microsoft 365 E5, Microsoft 365 E5 Security, Windows 10 Enterprise E5, EMS E5, Office 365 E5. Are you getting the pattern here?
Yes.
And then some of those other plans like Microsoft Defender Advanced Threat Protection, Azure Advanced Threat Protection, Cloud App Security, and then Office 365 Advanced Threat Protection Plan 2.
Some of those are interesting, though. The E5s, they make total sense, but some of those, like Azure ATP, was just a sub-SKU of... because MTP is more of an overall and overarching licensing yep. suite that helps you bring alignment with unified reporting and some other things in there. But Azure ATP or Cloud App Security, MCAS, that Microsoft's CASB, those were both just individual parts of that suite. Now they're saying, hey, if you purchase one part of the suite, we'll give you the rest of it. So now they're saying, if you have Cloud App Security and that's all you've done, you're going to go ahead and enable some other features. Like, you'll get features in Office 365 and ATP and in Azure ATP without having to do anything.
Yeah.
Which simplifies that whole licensing thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, just reading through this list, reading through that list, as I was listening to myself say it out loud, I'm like, their naming and their licensing is getting completely out of control. The fact that you have Microsoft Defender Advanced Threat Protection, Azure Advanced Threat Protection, Office 365 Advanced Threat Protection, Plan 2, it's like, yeah, it is getting really hard to keep track of all of these SKUs and what's in these SKUs and how these SKUs impact other SKUs and all of that.
Yeah. Did you see the one about Planner going away and being renamed Tasks, but it's going to be renamed six other things along the way?
I didn't see the six other things, but I did see that that is going to be tasks now.
Yes. So as we roll out the tasks experience on Teams desktop clients, the app name will initially appear as Planner to users. The name will then temporarily change to Tasks by Planner and To Do, and later on it will be renamed to Tasks. I think it's the first time I've ever seen an announcement that of all the product renames in one place.
In one, which I don't know why it wasn't Tasks originally, because you know what the URL for Planner is, don't you?
Yes.
It's tasks.office.com. I mean, Tasks would have probably made sense right out of the gate. I don't know, but now people are going to be, did you edit to Tasks? And it's going to be, well, which task? My Outlook tasks, which then go to Do, which To Do also pulls from Planner, which is now going to be Tasks. And, or you have your tasks in OneNote. Like, I get naming things after what they do. But if you're going to name something after what it does, you can't have 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 things that all do the same thing and name them all the same thing.
Yeah. A task is a task is a task is a task, except when it's not a task.
And that's only when it's in the task app or one of the several task apps.
Nice and easy, right?
That add-in, side note, that add-in that I told you about earlier, my Edge just crashed again. I've been having problems with Edge on macOS. If anybody else has had problems with the Canary, I'm running the Canary build. That's probably my problem.
Yeah, Canary's got had some weirdness going on lately. But
yes, especially on macOS. But that being said, I just lost all of my notes because not only does Canary crash, it will not allow me to reopen it until I restart my computer.
It's a feature.
Something like that. So yes, Guy will pull up some more links, but I am flying blind right now in terms of what I was going to talk about. So Microsoft Defender Advanced Threat Protection, that announcement was made. What is Microsoft Defender Advanced Threat Protection? We talked about it's going to be turned on, but we haven't actually mentioned what it is.
I'll be darned if I know at this point. Like, it's gotten kind of crazy out there with some of that stuff, especially when you consider some of the Defender threat protection capabilities and how they integrate maybe with Intune and device management and what you can push down on that side. That is a product that I too am waiting for clarity in.
You would like to know what it does. So I have it running on my Mac, because they do have like the whole antivirus endpoint.
Well, you have the AV component running on your Mac, but really it's more about that cloud-based management and kind of all the other things that go into it.
Yes, all of that as well. I lost all my articles. I'm trying to pull these all up while I'm talking. So yes, but it is going to be enabled. It's going to be on. And it does, like you said, it varies. So there's a whole Microsoft... Well, then you have Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection too that ties into it. That's based on your SKU of Windows that you're running. There are a whole bunch of things that go into it. We'll just put links in the show notes about Microsoft Defender Advanced Threat Protection and let you guys go check out all of the capabilities that are now going to be enabled by default. Because I think SafeLink, Safe Attachments, they all fall under that umbrella too, don't they?
They should, as far as I know. But who actually knows at that point?
Maybe we should try to find somebody from the Microsoft Defender Advanced Threat Protection team to explain it all to us.
We should. We've had MIP folks before. It'd be good to have somebody for MTP and kind of that overall vision there, because it is interesting where it's been going. And once you do get in there and light all those products up, some of the new things that have happened over in security.office.com, particularly when it comes to like incident hunting, they are really cool.
Yeah, we should. So if anybody that's listening is from that team or knows somebody on that team that they can put us in touch with too, we'll go out and see if we can dig up somebody. But yeah, if somebody knows and wants to send them our way or make an introduction, we'll get them on the show and we'll talk about it.
Just that easy.
As IT professionals in the cloud era, sometimes it feels like we don't speak the same language as the rest of the organization. So when stakeholders from finance or other departments start asking about a specific project or team's Azure costs, they don't always realize how much work is involved in obtaining that information. Sifting through cluttered CSVs and a complex mess of metadata in order to manually create custom views and reports. It's a real headache. On top of helping you understand and reduce your organization's overall Azure spend, ShareGate Overcast lets you group resources into meaningful cost hubs and map them to real-world business scenarios. This way, you can track costs in the way that makes most sense with your corporate structure, whether it's by product, business unit, team, or otherwise. It's a flexible, intuitive, and business-friendly way of tracking Azure infrastructure costs, and it's only available in ShareGate Overcast. Find out more on ShareGate.com/ITPro. So, Teams. Teams has had an endless stream of new announcements and features. I feel like everybody started using it, and all of a sudden they wanted all these features. And Microsoft, it's like they prioritized a bunch of features all of a sudden.
Huh. How did that happen?
I don't know. I don't know why.
When you have 44% usage growth in 1 month, and then in the next calendar month, you go up another 70% over what was your new 100%, it gets interesting fast.
Yes. And all of a sudden, like user voice, it's like, hey, this user voice went from like 100 votes to 10,000 votes because all of a sudden everybody's using it and wants these features. I don't know if there's actually a feature that did that, but it wouldn't surprise me. So good news, drum roll, you now get more than 4x4 in a Teams meeting. Not 4x4. No, wouldn't 4x4 be nice? You get more than 2x2. You now get 3x3. We went from seeing 4 users at once, Scott, to seeing 9.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. And you can still pin people too. So when you go into those classrooms or, you know, if you're a teacher out there and things like that, you can still just right click and pin and get the big face in front of you. So you can do the Brady Bunch view of the world, or you can go to a 9x9. Coming to a tenant near you.
Coming to, granted, that's not the, what can you do on Zoom? Can you do 50?
Oh, sorry, 3x3.
What can you do on Zoom? I think you can do 50 on one screen in Zoom.
It goes up
significantly higher.
It goes up quite a bit. Yeah. Yeah.
But I did see Microsoft is planning to bring more. I won't lie, I thought they were going to go up higher than just 2x2 to 3x3. I thought they said they were going to try to do it so you could see everybody at once. But right now you can put 250 people in a Teams meeting. Can you imagine 250 people looking at all of them at once? It'd be like little thumbnails on most people's monitors.
It would be like a Zoom meeting. That's what it would be like.
Yeah. They also increased another feature in that article was they increased the number of participants that can take place in a live meeting. So live meetings, you used to have a limit of 10,000 people per live meeting. They have doubled that to now allowing you to have 20,000 participants in a Teams live meeting.
Yes, yes, they have. Limits continue to to rise there. It's an interesting one.
Well, because that takes a lot of resources. Like, I thought they were hurting for resources, unless they've kind of gotten a little bit of a handle on that. I was surprised to see that big of a jump in the live meeting attendees.
Resource availability has actually gotten quite a bit better. So not just for Teams things, but I'm even seeing in Azure, some of the restrictions are starting to be lifted, which is very nice.
Yes, absolutely. It's nice to be able to start using some of this stuff to its full potential again.
It's like all of a sudden I can create Azure SQL databases. Yay!
I finally found one of my articles again. What else was there? Simultaneous people raising hands is coming. So you're going to be able to raise hand. Oh, back.
Well, before we do raise hands, just on the limit thing, that is a temporary raise.
Oh, was that a temporary one?
Yes. They will be, the defaults will be raised until July 1st.
Oh, yes.
And then in August, they're going to officially make some changes. So they call out the 20,000 number, but they might settle on something else, you know, after that, if they see that there's a huge uptick to the 20,000 number and all that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see once all of this is done, how it changes companies' views on remote work. Or if people tend to work remotely more, if everybody's going to be so tired of working remotely, everybody's going to want to go to the office. Shall be interesting.
I don't know. Do you want to go to the office? I don't feel like I do. I'm good staying right where I am.
I've been right where I am for the last like 12 years anyways, so hasn't changed a whole lot for me. Raise hand. Background effects was interesting. So they, this one just makes me laugh because they announce background effects, which you used to be able to blur. Now you can add pictures. And I think it was they did this well. They released it and they're like, we're not going to allow you to put your own custom pictures in for governance reasons. Obviously, you never know what certain people may upload as a background image. I think the day they released this, all these articles came out about how you could just go into a certain directory on your computer and add your own custom images and have them in Teams. It took less than 8 hours from when it was live to when, even though they didn't give you the option to do it in the browser, they made it really easy to do by just going to a certain path in your file system on your C drive and adding pictures there.
Yes. I've been having a bunch of fun with that one. Made my wife the envy of all her friends at school.
Have you seen the articles about people that took a screenshot or a picture of them sitting in their office and then they put that as their background picture and they're not actually at the meeting? It's just their picture.
Yeah, that's a thing that has happened as well. You give somebody a tool and they will absolutely take advantage of it, you know?
That they will. Call recording. I mean, there's a bunch of them. We'll link to the show notes. There were some updates around devices, a few meeting control changes. Most of the other ones were small. You can do things like put system audio now into a live meeting. So if you want to play a video and feed that audio back into your live meeting to send it out to everybody, you can do that. But I think that kind of hit some of the big Teams announcements that came out in the month of April.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll probably wrap up most of them. Like you said, a lot of that stuff just roadmap anyway. So it'll be filtering out. The nice thing is they've been filtering out much quicker, like you brought up.
Any other news topics you want to cover today before we wrap up?
Well, since we're talking about end user things, I think a good one to talk about might be some impacts to how end users interact with Azure AD. So there's a couple new experiences that are coming. So all of the new quote unquote my URLs of Azure AD have lit up. So if you've ever pushed out things like my apps to your users, there's going to be a new URL and effectively a new UI coming to that. So myapplications.microsoft.com is live today and ready to go. So it's kind of like my apps, but it lets you group your applications by workspaces. They've simplified access management requests. So things that might come through privileged identity management are now going to be consolidated and available at myaccess.microsoft.com. Sign-in information is consolidated at mysignins. That one's actually been out there and kicking around a while. And there's also the new myworkaccount.microsoft.com, which brings forward kind of what would have been your account portal inside of M365 or O365. So you roll that out. That's all the new look and feel. And then you've also got the new MFA, SSPR, consolidated sign-in experience and things like that. So if you have some downtime and you're at a help desk or, you know, you're working with your end user community, then now is a good time to update some of your documentation, because now that the URLs are all out there and all live, you can go ahead and get up-to-date screenshots and everything you might need.
Yeah, these are nice. The My Applications one, there's my groups where I can do groups and...
Yep. So My Applications is an interesting one. That's a UI that's going to be surfaced in two places. So it's going to be at myapplications.microsoft.com, and then you can also go into office.com, into the app launcher, and you could get to all your apps there. So the UI there is going to stay almost the same as it is today, but when you go into all applications, you're going to have access to that same grouping concept with the workspaces.
Got it. Well, it looks like when you go start doing the groups, it actually takes you over to it's a URL under your account.activedirectory.windowsazure.com.
Mm-hmm. Makes total sense, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like the number of admin portals.
Just a few of those.
I forgot how many different Office 365 tenants I'm a member of, because on that My Applications tool, it lets you go, you can do a drop down and look at all of the organizations, so you can jump to see all of your apps between all the different tenants you're a part of. My list mm-hmm. got rather long.
it does
like,
creep
you forget
up on
how
you.
Many you're in. You go through and look at it, and you're like, oh, they never actually removed me. I'm still a guest in their tenant somewhere, or, Yes, those are some good URLs to know about to bookmark.
I have quite a few of those kicking around.
All right. Well, since we had a longer one last week, should we wrap this one up sort of on time?
Yeah.
All right.
Just for giggles, let's do it.
Let's do it. we can go back and do some more real work.
Yes. Yeah. It's ARM Template Friday.
All right. I'm going to go play with Azure. I've been playing with Azure more. I've been playing with Windows Virtual Desktop and domain controllers and IaaS. So I'm going to go back and play in Azure some more this afternoon.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
All right. Go enjoy your afternoon. Don't work too hard. And we will talk to you again next week, Scott.
Thanks, Ben.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.